Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Off the Tracks podcast with Casey Bartley and Drew Schneider. I'm Drew Schneider, and I'll be hosting this episode because Casey is the man with the important basketball opinions.
Important, probably not, but I am here nursing a sore knee, playing tug-of-war with the dog, and happy to talk about a college basketball season that hopefully happens.
Right? Like, that's we're all optimists. We're just going to keep on pretending like all this is going to happen until it doesn't.
I mean, we've got to produce content, so...
That's right.
For now, we're going to project into a season.
Yeah, and if we have to, we'll just project into next season. We'll just keep it going. All right, so we're trying to find these, we're going to try to keep these short, so let's get straight into it. Now that the dust has settled on who is and isn't staying in the NBA draft, can you give me a couple quick reactions to the Big Ten rosters for the 2021 season? Which team was hurt the most by a player staying in the draft?
All right, so I feel like I look at this a little different than a lot of people because, you know, in theory it should be whoever loses the best player, which is probably Michigan State or Ohio State with Xavier Tillman and Caleb Wesson leaving. But the school that's hurt the most is by far Minnesota because Daniel Oturu was pretty much their everything. He was the do-everything big man inside, dominant, gave everyone trouble, and that team wasn't very good with him. So with him leaving... there is very little hope for that program next year of taking another step forward.
You hate to see it happen to a Bettina. Really do.
A lot of snippeting will be happening.
Yeah, he looks like such an outstanding young man. So which team came out ahead? So we've got Minnesota as the loser of the player leaving lottery. Which team do you think actually got better?
I think you have to put an asterisk next to Iowa, obviously. Big Ten Player of the Year, Luka Garza coming back. But I don't know if he was ever really in jeopardy of leaving. As good as he was last year, which was great. He was one of the best players in the conference, in the country. I don't think he was ever really a big NBA prospect. So the two guys you have to look at is Illinois getting Io back and Kofi, who, as a 1-2 punch, both potential lottery picks. For them both to come back... Bruno here agrees. For both of those guys to come back for Illinois, that is just a major boon. And that team is set up to dominate in a way not many teams in the country can.
Best Illinois team since Darren Williams?
Sure. I mean, best Illinois team since I have basketball memories, pretty much.
Oh, but you're saying better than the Darren Williams team.
I was pretty young.
Ah, that's true. I forget. With most of the Big Ten roster set, Casey, let's go ahead and break this conference down into three tiers here for the next year. So we're going to get the first tier is the fighting for the conference championship tier. What teams do you have in that sort of level of competition?
So I think you have the two schools that are always there, Michigan and Michigan State. They both, you know, got quite a bit of talent coming back. They always have talented kids coming in. They're always going to challenge if they're playing. I think you have to throw Maryland in there, even though it's Maryland, and you always expect them to trip up just enough, even though they did tie for the conference last year. A conference going with six losses helps out. But and the other team, I think, is Illinois. They just bring back a lot of talent, a team that played really hard. They have a lot of length and athleticism, and Io and Kofi are two of the biggest mismatches in the conference, and they can, on every game-to-game basis, those two can win a game on their own.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Underwood's really sort of turned that around, because it was a rough start for him at Illinois. I feel like this is finally sort of realizing maybe what his actual potential is as an Illinois coach.
There's no reason an Illinois college should not have talent.
Right.
They are right in the middle of pretty much where basketball is born, bred, and cultivated. So good for him. It sucks for us, but it is a program to reckon with now.
And it's kind of nice to have them back on the scene, really. I think they've fallen off for so long. It's sort of hard to remember that, you know, Purdue-Illinois used to be a huge game. Mm-hmm. Recently it's just been one of those where like, oh, I can't believe we lost to Illinois. So we got that top four, and then let's go for the next sort of rung on the ladder, is just fighting for an NCAA berth. What teams do you think in the Big Ten will be sort of in the mix for an NCAA berth, assuming there's an NCAA tournament and there's 64 teams?
I know you're going to... The next question's obviously going to be the ones that aren't going to be in it, and I think that's the easiest way to answer this question.
Gotcha.
The teams that aren't going to challenge for it are Minnesota, Northwestern, Nebraska, and you could talk me either way into Penn State. I like Penn State's guards. I think they have enough, even losing Stevens and Watkins, that they're going to be able to challenge. So let's run through a couple of those teams real quick. I was never going to win in the Big Ten. Not while Fran 25 Faces of Angry is there. You have to play defense or you're not winning in the Big Ten. There's too much talent. There's too much inside play. There's too many teams with just really good offensive systems. We saw what a very bad offensive team like Purdue, what they did to Iowa this year. You can't consistently put out those kind of efforts on a defensive end and challenge in this conference. They were the 97th ranked defense according to KenPom, and they are the only ones besides Northwestern and Nebraska that weren't in the top 40. Looks like top 45 in defenses in the country. And you're just not going to win. They were lucky to win as many games as they did. They're not going to challenge that way. Nothing they brought in or comes back. Luka Garza is great, but he does not offer that much on the defensive end. They really don't have a guy on the defensive end that you look at that's just a problem. Some of the other teams are like, you know, Ohio State. At this point, it's hard to not think of Chris Holtmann as just one of the best college coaches in the country. He had a rough little stretch there during the start of a conference play last year, but got his team rolling towards the end. They're going to bring in more talent. He's finally getting his guys into the program. Indiana, honestly, I almost put them in the not contending, but that kind of just seems petty because it's the Hoosiers.
I feel like that's just an emotional pick there.
I don't think about Indiana basketball that much because they're bad and they're always disappointing. Like, you can't the same way Iowa can't win without a defense. You're not gonna win in college basketball anymore if you can't shoot. And when's the last time Indiana had a good shooting team?
Jordan Holes, maybe? Is that the last? You don't think the infusion of talent with Lander coming in, the number one player in Indiana high school ball last year?
How did Roman Langford work for him? They win a bunch of games?
They did not. They did not. I think this Indiana team probably has more talent around it. I do like Jackson Davis, and I think Franklin's going to be good for them this year.
They lost a little bit of their depth. They had two guys transfer out. I've seen nothing from Archie Miller that suggests he's a change of program coach. That team last year was pretty young. They should have gotten better as the year went along. And that's just not what happened at all. They were 11-1 before they lost to Arkansas. And then as soon as they got to the Big Ten, had a couple wins early, soft schedule, had the Northwestern Nebraska wins to kind of soften their start. But towards the end there, I mean, they lost a bunch of games. I just don't believe in the program. I don't believe in what they're doing offensively and the players they're getting. it seems like they're racking up a whole bunch of recruiting stars and rankings, but high school rankings don't matter in college basketball. Past the couple absolute gems, they're just not that good at ranking high school players, and it's more important to have a system and get guys that fit that system. And I don't think Indiana has a system. They don't know what they are. They don't know what they want to be. And they don't have – there's so many teams in the Big Ten that just know what they want to be, know what they do well. Their coaches know the guys they need to get, and they go out and do it. And it's a tried-and-true method for, you know, five or six programs, and Indiana's just not that.
All right. Well, that's I feel like that's a hot take there, Casey. So I'm sure we'll get, some good feedback on that one. And so we got Indiana as a borderline, maybe trying to make the tournament, maybe just trying to stay above water.
Irrelevant. They'll be irrelevant. They might make the tournament, but they'll be irrelevant because that's what they are in college basketball anymore.
Oh, red meat. Just throwing out red meat to the base here. Any other teams you want to sort of touch on? I think we went through most of them there.
Yeah, we're a Purdue blog, so we can talk about Purdue's season a little bit here.
All right. Well, that was my next sort of question. So we can sort of go into that. Let's get to the sort of the Purdue-centered part then. What do you think this team's strength is going to be this year? Where do you see them being the strongest?
That's probably the hardest question to answer about the team next year, because last year's team really lacked any strength. They were okay at a lot of things. Didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Defense wasn't great. Not a whole bunch to hang our hats on. I think next year we're going to shoot the ball really well. I think we're bringing in some guys that are really smart, really know how to move the ball. And there's two components to shooting well as a team. First one is you have to have shooters. You just do. Whether you manufacture them and turn them into shooters like Grady Eifert, or you come in slinging like Ryan Klein. I think this team next year is going to be kind of a manifestation of a little bit of both of that. But the second component of shooting well is getting good shots. And the biggest part of that is being smart, passing the ball well. We've seen enough evidence that Coach Painter knows how to create an offensive system that works. We were kind of stuck in between a bunch of different philosophies last year. A lot of that is we didn't have many strengths to play to. This year coming in, Ivy is going to give us a on-the-ball playmaker shot maker that we didn't have last year. Ethan Morton is an incredibly good passer. Pretty good shooter. And then we got Brandon Newman redshirting, who has... I was showing you video of this before we started podcasting of some of his high school tape. Just has a beautiful quick jump shot. And we're going to throw that in with some Isaiah Thomas and Sasha Stefanovic. Aaron Wheeler, who showed himself freshman year as a capable shooter. Last year, 21-97 from three. So hard to put a whole bunch of stock into that. But we're losing, you know, a guard that couldn't shoot at all. And pretty much everyone we're adding in, Gillis, Morton, Ivy, Newman, they're all B-minus to A-minus shooters. And I think we're really going to see an offense that opens up again because we can threaten it from everywhere on the outside.
All right. Yeah, I guess that was sort of my question. I feel like last year we sort of, about midway through the season, we went sort of all right, guys, let's just put Trey in the post and see what he can do, if he can drag us to the finish line. I will say that I felt like at the end of the year, Hunter really started to sort of step up in the scoring department, and I feel like Matt put the ball in his hands a lot there towards the end of the game. So I'm interested to see if that sort of confidence that may have gained from that last year carries over to this year, because we'll definitely need him to sort of, I think, run the show. At least to start the season, while our freshmen get acclimated. So we touched on the strengths. Where are we going to struggle? Where are we just going to pull our hair out and be like, oh, come on, guys?
I mean, we still don't... We don't know what Ivy's going to be entirely. He's pretty much the one person that can unlock the offense off the dribble. I think we are going to struggle at times to have a guy that can break down a defense, get some shots, some easy baskets, draw fouls. Besides Trevion Williams, I don't know who gets to the line consistently. It's a lot easier to play when you can count on getting 20 free throws a game, and that's not something we could depend on last year. Last year we were 318th at drawing free throws.
Oof.
15.7% of our points went from free throws. Like, that's not good.
I mean, that really sort of speaks to our lack of anybody that can drive the ball and get to the rim and just force the action. I know, like, we had a bunch of guys that wanted to catch and shoot the ball, and you don't get fouled shooting catch and shoot jump shots.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this to you. I've said this to a lot of people. Sasha Stefanovic was our best guard at getting to the rim last year. It wasn't because he was good at it. It's just he was the one person that made up his mind and just said, I'm going.
Right, he was willing, at least.
Right,
to
willing.
Put his head down.
Getting to the rim's half mindset and, you know, half skill towards it. I think Ivy's going to help. We should be pretty fast and run and gun next year. The strangest conundrum to Nojel Eastern's game is, of all his limitations on offense, the one thing he should have been awesome at was fast break offense, because he's built like a gazelle,
right,
and in theory grabs rebounds and should be able to take off. But he didn't take off. Like, he would get the ball and then the fast break would die because he would slowly bring it up. Is some of that on Coach Painter? Probably.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're not going to get to the free throw line, you better get fast break points. And in theory, next year, we're playing a lot of guys that are pretty fast, that can handle the ball, that can move around, that are good passers. Ethan Morton, I'll say this for sure, has maybe the biggest wealth of outlet passing highlights from high school on tape that I've ever seen of a kid. Just, it's full court, one hand, two hand outlet passes every other play. And that outlet pass can really make a big difference in a game. That's somewhere difference between, you know, 6 to 12 easy points that you don't get otherwise if you set up in a half-court offense every possession.
So you think we'll be back to the run-and-gun offense of 2 years ago next year? I'll be excited to see that, because I did not like last year at all from any standpoint.
That is a fair and accurate feeling towards it.
I don't think my liver can hold up to another slog Purdue team in a pandemic. I just don't think it's too stressful for me. I need this team to be good, Casey.
We need to hopefully have something for this COVID by then, and then have a team that will run the fast break.
That's what I need. I need a COVID vaccine and a fast break. I feel like my life would be so much better. That would be great. I like that positivity out there, putting that out into the air, seeing if it'll, think it into being. All right, man. Well, hey, I think we're going to just keep this one short and try to do these more often. People don't just hang up on us midway through and miss all our funny stuff here at the end.
Hold on. You're not getting out of here.
You're not getting out of here until your dog crap
best fast food sandwich argument, which you have the most baffling take I've ever heard. It's absurd. Go ahead. Tell the people what you think the number one fast food burger is.
It's not what I think the number one fast food burger is. Is what the number one, and that would be the Whopper from Burger King. Right now they are on sale. You can get two for $5, and I think they're pretty good. Now, I don't like, I eat fast food hamburgers like once every 3 months, maybe.
So you're not qualified to give this garbage take.
Yeah, so it's not like I'm pounding down the hamburgers here.
The last burger you got that wasn't a Burger King Whopper? Or have you only had Whoppers? Is this like going back from like the 90s and this is all you've ever had? It's the only way this take makes sense.
No, I like Wendy's. I'll eat a double bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's, and you know, they're all right. I like them. I feel like I may not have a great Wendy's next close to me because I've never been super impressed with their double bacon. I think Dairy Queen's underrated. I do get a burger from there every now and then because that's like 2 minutes from my house.
So let me ask you, when you go for a burger, is the main thing that you want is stale bun to mayo ratio being like 4-to-1 to burger?
See, what I'm looking for is a nice flame grill. I like the, I feel like the
flame grill. It's not flame grilled. It tastes like dirty grill because they have it on that dumb broiler.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it better than
barely, there's no meat there. It's just this single wimpy patty.
I think you're eating Whopper Juniors then, bro, because there's plenty of meat on my Whopper, man.
No.
And they got some good toppings and,
it's lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise. How hard is that?
Lettuce, tomato, mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, they're pretty good. I feel like they're usually pretty crispy. And like I said, the price is right. What I hate is going to a fast food restaurant and pulling around and being like, that'll be $17. I'm like, what the
hell? All right, but they're good because they use actual meat. Like, and the Five Impossible Guys Whopper, is I've much better.
I've had the Impossible
better.
Whopper as well, and it is not bad either. And that is not even actual meat. It just sort of does taste like the grill, but it's not bad. I will say this right now for all of my Boilermakers out there in Texas, Whataburger is trash. Do not like it. Do not like it. Lived next to one for 7 years, and I always had that. Wait, I just spent $17 on a fast food hamburger, French fries, and a drink, and this tastes like a salt lick. So, I don't like Whataburger. McDonald's is no. Wendy's, I don't like Wendy's. What do you like? It's not like we're comparing.
Here's the baffling thing about the Whopper. It's literally like almost anything else above a Whopper burger. Almost any. Wendy's is definitely better. Five Guys is way better.
I don't consider Five
Shake
Guys.
Shake
Shack. I don't
is
consider
way better.
Five Guys fast food. I feel like
it's
that.
It's not dine-in eating.
I think every time I've had Five Guys, I've sat
okay,
in there.
Just because of the fact you're drunk at 3:30 after going out drinking all night does not mean it's a dine-in establishment.
I feel like Five Guys is a step above fast food hamburgers. Because I think if I were to put Five Guys.
I think that's you excusing more flavor and a more consistent burger and having to recategorize it because you want Whopper to exist in this weird alt universe that you live in, apparently, where that's a burger.
Whopper is delicious. You won't convince me otherwise.
Cookout, definitely a better burger.
I like Cookout. I haven't been there.
Way better burger.
We don't have any cookouts in Kansas, so I do like Cookout. I go and get the shakes there though, and the weird and the weird stuff off the menus.
Hold on, they do have weird stuff on the menu. Their shakes are not shakes.
No, they're like blocks of ice cream, but you're in South Carolina and it's 135 degrees in the summer. So
okay, it's
eat
not
it.
That much hotter here than like Indiana. It's 100% humidity in Indiana, like 90% of the time.
Oh, that's you're in the. You're
I don't
in the
want to hear about this garbage.
You're in
it's
the upstate.
Almost
you,
the
go,
same.
Go down to Columbia. Go down to Columbia, and you will sweat to death.
I lived in Columbia for 9 months.
When? Which 9 months?
It's 9 months. At some point, summer was involved.
Did you get August in Columbia?
Yes.
Oh, boo. No. August is so hot.
It's
I hate
not
it.
That bad. You guys are all just wimps with weather.
No.
It gets 40 degrees down here, and you all need, like, mink coats and, like, triple gloves and scarves around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know winter, but you guys just quiver.
The thought of it. I'm going to go get in my sleeping bag right now and curl up, zip the top of it up.
Why don't you go take a nap in a bunch of lukewarm Whopper burgers, which is how they serve them.
Oh, I wish I could. I wish I could.
All right, wrap the show up. like your lukewarm, disgusting Whopper.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. This has been Drew Schneider and Casey Bartley, and we are the home of the Whopper at Hammer and Rails, and Burger King hit me with some coupons.